Today is March 1st, 2011. This is Wendy Erickson. I'm a reference librarian at the Parchment Community Library. And today we're taking the oral history of Robert Lloyd Heasley. Last name spelled H-E-A-S-L-E-Y. Mr. Heasley, what is your full name?
My name is Robert L. Heasley.
And when and where were you born?
I was born in Holland, Michigan, in 1921.
1921, okay. Where do you live today?
I live in Parchment.
All right. And how long have you lived here?
Probably close to 50 years.
Okay. And what's your personal connection here? You moved here, evidently.
We moved here from Kalamazoo because we had friends that lived here, and I was working at a plant that was closer for the Upjohn Company, that was closer to Parchment.
Yeah.
And so we moved here.
Have you been in this house the whole time? This one?
We lived on Riverview first. We bought a new house on Riverview.
Okay.
And lived there for about 3 years, and then built this house after we lived there.
I see.
And while we were building this house, we had sold our other house.
Okay.
And rented the old farmhouse on the property from Helen Kindleberger.
Oh.
And so we lived in the farmhouse that is now gone, but that house was over 100 years old.
Where was that?
That's right where the car barns are now, or the truck barns for Park Service are right now.
Sure. Oh, right. Oh, right behind the library. That's right. That land right there.
Yeah. Beautiful old house. Nice lawn, trees around.
Yeah.
It was really great. It was old, and it was so old that the windows had storm windows on it. But in spite of the storm windows, the furnace turned on in the fall and never turned off till spring.
So. One of those drafty houses, right? It was cool.
Yeah. So Helen said, I asked her if we could paint because the rooms were kind of musty and stuff, and so she said, sure, go ahead and paint, and we started painting, and the walls were papered with newspaper, and we tore some of them off, and they were 100 years old.
They were?
Yeah.
Oh. So the walls were 100 years old.
Well, the newspapers were.
For heaven's sakes.
And the walls were that old.
Go ahead.
It was an interesting house because it was all, you know, old and everything worked, but slowly.
How many rooms do you think?
I think there were seven.
Seven rooms?
Yeah.
Did you paint every room?
About four of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that an ordeal?
No, it wasn't too bad, except when we got into the ones that were papered with newspapers.
Yeah.
Sometime along the line, somebody had put newspapers up, and that made it hard.
Right.
Because it was peeling off.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you said you rented that house.
Yes.
Helen said
she was going to, they were going to tear it down, but she said, you can rent it for 6 months while we built this house. And then this house didn't get built in 6 months.
Yeah.
So we were there a little bit longer than that.
I see. Okay. Helen's house. Did you know them well, Helen?
Well, yeah.
You did?
We were friends. We knew each other, and we knew each other from the church.
Oh, which church?
The Parchment Methodist Church.
Okay. So you knew Helen and her family?
Not really well, but we knew them.
Not.
Yeah.
Okay. And what is your wife's name?
June E.
And what's
Elaine.
What's her maiden name?
Baker.
Is she from here?
Nope, we're both from Holland.
Both from Holland, okay. And
we both went to Hope College there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you graduated?
June graduated from Hope, but I only went there 2 years and then moved up to Michigan Tech.
Michigan Tech.
Up in Houghton, Michigan.
Yes, that's right. You told me about that. And how we could have snow conversations for quite a long time.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So you went there for an engineering degree?
Yes.
And what kind?
Chemical engineering.
And when did you graduate from Tech?
In 46, I think.
Okay. All right.
Was. Yeah.
In 46. Okay.
I went up to Michigan Tech and went there for 2 years and then went into the Army.
I see.
And then when I was in the Army, I was assigned or given the opportunity to attend Texas Tech. So I got a degree in mechanical engineering in the Army from Texas Tech.
What city was that in?
Lubbock, Texas.
In Lubbock, Texas. Oh. How long did that take you?
It was a year.
A year?
Yeah.
Okay. And then were you married by this time? Had you married June by this time?
Not then.
Not then?
No.
Okay. All right. What did you do after Texas Tech?
Well, after Texas Tech, I became a full-fledged part of the Army, in the Army Engineers. So
you did?
Yeah, so
okay.
I went out to Fort Belvoir and stayed there. June and I were married then, and we moved out to Fort Belvoir or in that area.
I see. Okay.
And, stayed there for a few months and then was shipped out of Seattle to Korea. Okinawa first.
Uh-huh.
And then it was in Okinawa, just as they were closing down because of the bomb. The bomb fell,
sure.
And they decided the war was going to be over.
Right.
But we went into Okinawa after they had captured that.
Okay.
Complete devastation.
Yeah, yeah.
With dead bodies laying all around the place, which was not very pleasant.
You saw that.
Yeah.
You did.
And
okay.
I was there during a tornado.
Yes.
And hurricane, as they call it over there.
Oh, yeah. That's
and,
right.
My. I know that it blew all the tents down that we had. I found a great big box that a front loader for a pickup truck came in and sat in that. So that's nothing
you
to
did.
Do
yeah. It didn't blow you away.
It didn't blow me away, but it blew away some guys that were trying to get up to the box. We were on top of a hill, and they were climbing up the hill, and they kept getting blown back down. So.
You bet.
Yeah, it's nothing to do with what you.
No, no, this is no. So you landed in Parchment when?
In was 47 or 8, something like that. I don't remember exactly when.
Okay.
I joined the Upjohn Company in 46.
All right.
And we rented a place in Kalamazoo on Grand Avenue.
Sure.
We lived on Grand Avenue for about 3 years. So it must have been like 49 or something like
all
that.
Right.
When we moved here, we bought a house on Riverview in Parchment.
That's right.
It was a new house that
was
there.
Okay, sure.
And then while we were there, we designed and had this house started. And I think we moved in here in 56.
Okay. Okay. So, you have children.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Two boys.
Okay.
One is Rob, the current mayor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the other is Charles.
Okay.
And Charles is an artist, and he's head of the art department at State University of New York in Cortland, New York.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
And he's married to, his wife is also an artist, so we've got two artists.
In the family, yeah.
Who are primarily responsible for convincing my wife to paint the house black instead of redwood.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're a grandpa?
Yes, we are.
Yes?
A grandpa, and we have a son that's currently starting at Duke University.
Yes?
He just graduated from high school last year. So
okay.
He's been a year, his first year at Duke. And we have two grandsons, Rob's two sons.
Yes.
Alan and John.
Okay.
And they have, or John has, two great-granddaughters.
Oh.
For us.
Okay.
Great. Sydney and McKay. So,
okay.
The family's pretty close here.
Good. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about Parchment. I mean,
right.
You've been here over 50 years.
Umpteen years.
When
we moved here, one of the interesting things that happened was that we belonged to the church downtown, the Congregational Church downtown.
Oh, yeah.
And we moved out here. We joined the Methodist Church here.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I did was to get on to the, or asked to be on the finance committee.
Ah.
And that consisted of going out to meet people for donations to the church and membership and stuff like that.
Okay.
I don't know if this goes in there or not. Anyway, one of the things I discovered when I went out to call on people to about their membership in the church.
Yeah.
I discovered that everybody, apparently, that Jake hired for the mill became an automatic member of the church. So there were all kinds of names on the list. So when I called on people, some of them said, "We don't belong to that church." So some people
had enrolled them, sort of, or how do you think that happened?
I don't know. It's before me, but they were on the rolls of the church. So I'm calling on them, and
right.
Some people were kind of mad about that.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, one of them slammed the screen door in my face. And I'm blocked. I don't.
Yes.
Anyway, that's one thing that I learned was that apparently most of the people that lived in Parchment and worked at the mill were members of the church, and it was a community church at that time.
Right.
And they also, I heard, each donated $2 towards a seat in the church.
Oh.
As part
because
of the,
they used to meet at the community house.
That was a community house.
It was a community house, right.
Right.
I'd heard that about, somebody else told me in an oral history about chairs or something.
Yeah, everybody had to make $2
paying
contribution.
For your own chair, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you actually went, the church went sort of door to door based on whatever roster that you had.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. We were asked to go around and see about membership and contributions and can encourage people to make contributions to the church. Anyway, that's where I found out that practically everybody, whether they knew it or not, were members of the church.
So what did that do for membership? Did like you said, somebody slammed a door in your face?
No.
Did most people just agree with you and contribute?
They were. They just listened. They did. Most of the people just listened to it, and they didn't always. In fact, a lot of people didn't go to the church at all.
I see.
And some people did. There were quite a few members that were Catholic.
Okay.
And so they went up to St. Ambrose.
St. Ambrose.
But you know that was something that was news to me, that people could actually be here.
Right.
A little bit later. I became the superintendent of the Sunday school.
I see.
And I ran into the same kind of problem there, in that when I went to a state meeting of the superintendents of Sunday schools for the Methodist Church, I found out that we were one of the largest Sunday schools in the state.
Oh.
And then I discovered that what had happened is that everybody got signed up for the Sunday school and no preacher wanted to remove them.
I see.
In fact, that removing people is quite difficult in the Methodist Church.
Is it?
You have to have people agree to the fact that they want their name dropped out and all of that
right.
stuff. So it becomes a harder thing. But anyway, the net result of that was that we suddenly had a huge Sunday school.
Oh, how long did you do that?
A couple of years.
Just a couple of years?
Maybe 3 years.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
You're talking about some time ago.
I know. Okay.
So they had a little different kind of a system, because they met in the church sanctuary, the Sunday school before church.
All right.
So they had a program that was sort of similar to what was in the church. You had an introductory.
Mm-hmm.
They sang choirs and did the works of them, the gospel and stuff like that.
Okay.
And then they all dispersed and went to different rooms for the Sunday school, depending on their age and whatnot.
I see.
So it was a fairly large group.
It sounds like it. Yeah.
Did that.
Yeah.
And of course, part of what I had to do was recruit some of my friends to become teachers in the church.
Oh, you did.
And some of them had a difficult time on Sunday morning.
Oh.
Getting to church. Sunday school.
Okay.
So
you've been very, very active in that church.
Well,
Do you still attend that church?
No.
Okay, you don't.
When we moved to Puerto Rico, we transferred to a church in Puerto Rico.
Oh.
And we're still members of that church.
Well, how long, when did you go to Puerto Rico?
In 73.
And how long were you there?
3 years.
Oh, okay. And then you came back.
Yep, we did.
Okay. Okay.
We came back, and one of the things that I had sort of forgotten about was winter.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I came back.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
I was driving down Sprinkle Road in the dark, slushy, cold ice and all of that stuff. And I thought, wow, what did I do?
Exactly.
My trip
in
Puerto Rico, I lived about an hour drive away from the plant. So I left in the morning. We lived in San Juan. And I left in the morning, and I had a beautiful drive along the shore. Palm trees and all of that going down, which was really, really nice. So when I came back, it was a real shock to drive down Sprinkle Road.
Yeah. Not anywhere near as picturesque. No. This was for Upjohn. You went to Puerto Rico for Upjohn.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. So what do you first, when you moved here, I mean, a lot of these houses were not here.
That's right.
Right? There were big fields.
Right. Right. And this was an orchard. Apple orchard.
Oh, where you are here. Right here now. Yeah. It was an apple orchard.
Yeah, so they had to take down the apple trees.
Do you know who owned it?
I don't.
Who owned
I think
the apple
it was
orchard? The,
no, it was all part of the mill property. The mill started to sell these lots.
Yep.
And I don't know. I know that Harold DeWeard was the person that we worked through.
I see.
He obviously wasn't the owner, but I don't know if the mill owned it or who.
Oh.
But anyway.
Okay.
Whoever owned it.
I see.
We bought a lot out here and started to build on this property.
Yeah, yeah. But there were a lot of vacant spaces.
Yeah.
Fields, tall grass.
These were all vacant.
Sure.
And Jim Southern built the house next door after we did.
Okay.
So.
Now that name is familiar from KVP history, Southern.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's changed a lot over the years.
It's changed a lot over the years. One of the things that you asked about, Rob, and one of the things that we had in the church, which was excellent, was the best scout chapter in the city.
We did?
Yeah.
Boy Scouts?
Boy Scouts, yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they organized a big program to raise enough money so that they could all go to Europe.
Oh, really?
Yep. And Rob was one of those that went on that trip. And it changed him immensely.
Okay.
He came back with a bright blue pair of pants he bought in the Netherlands.
How else did it change him besides his clothing?
he was 14, and they were originally started out. I think he had to be 15, but they let him go anyway.
Okay.
So
I see.
So he was pretty young when he went.
Yeah.
And he came back and he was self-sufficient.
Is that right?
He'd really grown up.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That snickering you hear in the background, by the way, is the mayor, Rob Heasley, who's also sitting here with us, too. Okay,
but they had many, many cookouts.
Cookouts?
Yeah. To raise funds for this trip to Europe.
Yeah.
And they did quite well.
Evidently. How many Boy Scouts went, do you know?
No, I don't know how many.
14.
Was it 14?
14. With chaperones, but yet chaperones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Parents.
Yeah.
You know, had to go.
No parents.
Yeah. No parents?
No.
Scoutmaster.
Scoutmaster. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I know that to this day, you know, that we had the KVP reunion last year, the first one, and we called on the local scout troop to help us with parking and escorting, and they were fabulous, stepped right up.
Oh, yeah.
And I got because I'm not from here, I got a very strong feeling that tradition in this town was strong.
Yep,
the Boy Scouts.
Was, right.
Still going.
Yep, still going.
Still going.
They had an unusually good scoutmaster that got people moving and raising money to do that.
Do
and
it.
It's hard to imagine a small scout troop like this raising enough money to go to Europe.
That's true.
But it all worked
town.
Out.
Yeah.
And I think it was a great experience.
Yeah.
At least Rob seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah.
He brought back some binoculars for me.
Oh, yeah?
Which are really
good. So you never worked for the mill.
Nope.
I mean, there are plenty of people here that, you know, didn't work for the mill and stuff, but this town was really humming.
Right.
Wasn't it?
It was.
When the mill was going, I would think you were here from the mid-50s on.
Right.
From what I understand, you know, up until about the first merger in 80, I think it was around 1980.
Yeah.
The place was really humming. I mean, yep. There was a very vibrant downtown
right.
here.
Right.
Lots of people here. I mean, not everybody who worked for the mill lived in town. You know, there were people that drove in and stuff, but there was it's still known as a mill town.
Yep. It is.
And because it's, of that.
Yeah, basically a mill town, and that's why the name on there, the parchment is the Paper City.
So, that's right.
So
that's
it's
right.
there. One of the things that happened shortly after we got here, you know, when we moved here, the school system was only up through the elementary grades.
Okay.
And so when we moved here, there was a big question about having the kids all had to go to Kalamazoo to high school.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's come up before, but
anyway. Is this about the annexation?
Yeah.
Yeah, it has come up.
Yeah, because at that time, when we moved here, we weren't too concerned about high school yet, but eventually it got to be a problem.
Right.
And I got on the school board and worked with that.
Initially, the Parchment School Board?
Yeah, initially I was on the curriculum committee when we started thinking about having to build a new high school.
Okay.
But that back when this all became an issue was when Kalamazoo said that if you're going to send your kids to our school, public school, in high school, then you have to join politically.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, probably you've heard that that became a major issue and split in the community.
Right.
And so that there were organizers that on both sides,
yes.
people that wanted to annex to Kalamazoo and people that felt right. that this was a unique community and wanted to keep it. Vic Smith was one of those that organized the side that wanted to stay here as a unique city, Parchment.
Yes.
And we went through an election that was pretty much like what happens in the politics in Chicago. We had we had people organized. Vic had gotten block captains for each block in the city.
Oh.
And they were supposed to know the members in the city and how they felt about it, and so they could vote. And then when the vote came up, I remember that vote that came up, then they could challenge the people, you know, to ask how they came out and that sort of thing.
Oh.
But it all ended up that they voted to keep the city of Parchment as a city, separate city.
Right. Now, I just want to ask, did that get rowdy?
No, it didn't get rowdy.
It didn't really get rowdy. No, we didn't have, like, any backroom stuff, and then people...
No, they did it all very...
They did it all up front and...
Organized.
Organized.
Yeah, it was sort of the same thing we bumped into. There was a fellow named Ray Cermak that lived here. He didn't work at the mill either, but he and I ran for city commission way back then, and that's the first time we bumped into this political organization that we had, because when we ran and we did a big deal, you know, it was this big community here.
You ran a big campaign, is what are you trying to say?
Yeah, because, wait a minute, we got financed by Clark, the drugstore.
The drugstore.
Frank Clark.
Yes.
And we went down there and he said, how much money do you need? And we said, well, we really don't know. He says, well, I'll give you $25. And he went to a roll top desk, rolled a thing back, and he had cigar boxes that were full of cash in there.
So that right?
Yeah, so we gave us $25 so we could have a campaign, and we made a couple of signs.
Not a big campaign. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So, but, you know, Parchment is a pretty small city to do all that stuff. So anyway, that was, again, when the election came up. Ray and I were doing pretty well in the election up until 6 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, Vic got his organization together and they had cars all set up to bring voters down. So
really?
The people came down en masse and we lost the election. So
you did? Where was the voting? Where did voting take place?
In the school down here.
In the middle school or
I think
the
it was
elementary
school? Yeah.
It was an elementary.
Elementary.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. It was originally at elementary, and I remember
yeah.
that we were concerned way back then about the smoke from the mill and the kids playing out in the backyard of
sure.
of in that all that smoke. Yeah.
Right.
Right, okay. That's a long time ago.
Okay, but that's where the voting was. So they are, yeah. they were really organized.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you lost.
And we lost.
So, did you ever run again?
No, not for that.
Not for that.
I did run on the school board. I was on the school board and became the president of the school board. But about shortly after we opened, it was one of those. The thing I remember about that was that I was asked to make a talk and about supporting the school. When we the city voted on becoming an independent city, and that meant that we had to put up our own high school.
Right.
So we put together plans for a high school.
Sure.
And had a really pretty neat plans that were put up, including a pool and football field and the whole works.
Right.
And that got voted down.
Oh.
And so then we had to do another plan.
Right.
And we did three plans, actually. But I can remember going, pounding on doors to try to encourage people to vote for this, and then they would say, well, we don't know, the mill was starting to close down about that time, and they said, we don't know if we're going to have a job next year or not, so we're not going to vote for any taxes.
Yeah.
Anyway, that sort of went on, but the net result was that we ended up with the school, and I think it's one of the things that Parchment should be really proud of, because Fred Hall was the superintendent at that time.
Okay.
And he organized it pretty well, and we became an accredited school in a year.
Wow.
Which was really good.
That is really good.
Yeah, because it took a lot of doing, but he had committees that were, you know, like the curriculum committees that organized all the different programs and got it all set up. So it worked out really well. And I thought, you know, that was, I think, a big feather in his hat to be able to pull that off.
How long were you president of the school board?
I think just a year.
For a year?
Yeah.
Do you remember what year was this?
Well, I don't know.
Because the high school. I mean, it.
I think it was the second year the building.
They're kind of famous. The class of '57 is kind of famous around here because that's as far as kids got was the ninth grade, because that's all the school there was here.
Yeah.
And then they went to Kalamazoo Central, so I can't remember when that high school got built.
No.
I do not remember.
I don't either.
Okay. Okay.
I know that one of the odd bits of information that I picked up when I was going to give a talk to people and encourage them to support the school.
Right.
Was that I had read a book about Russia, and in Russia, it turns out, or at that time, they paid their teachers more than they paid their medical people, doctors. And I thought, gee, this is really good. These people are thinking that education is the important part.
Yeah.
And we were cutting back on what we could pay our teachers or put money into the school system.
I see.
Everybody was cutting back on everything.
Sure.
And education is a thing that really makes a city grow, you know, and people grow. Anyway.
Yeah.
I remember that, and I thought, gee, those people are smarter than we are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Long term.
Priorities
One of the things that we had in that discussion that has nothing to do with this either, but at that same time that I was doing that, I was doing a lot of international work for Upjohn. And so I got all enthused about foreign languages, and I was taking French. I had a Berlitz course in French.
Yep.
And so I was pretty much enthused about doing foreign languages in the school system, and we had an opportunity to start a foreign language class or something like that, funded by the government. They had they could put language labs in and all that, and I was hot on that. But my neighbor right next door said nobody's ever going to use that language. Anyway, we went back and forth, but we never. And he felt that was money that was being spent by the government to put that in there, and that was our money, and it shouldn't be spent that way.
Oh,
so we had this big discussion, and I don't.
I see.
I don't know if you want to put that in.
So no language classes at the high school.
Well,
for a while.
I think they had language classes after a while, but they didn't have the language lab that was, when that came out, that was a really pretty neat thing that the government sponsored because it included recorders and it was a whole system.
You bet.
And all little labs that people had, you know, you'd be individual in those.
Right.
I thought it was a really good deal, but anyway, we didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
We also didn't do the pool, and we didn't do the track, and we didn't do well.
You were thinking big, though, you know, that's...
We started out big
you
because...
You better. Yeah, it's better to think big, I think.
The thing that was so good, and people can look at that two different ways, but about 73% of the cost of the school was being paid by the mill. So we had quite a bit of money available.
Yeah.
If people wanted to use it, but they all had to, you know, sign on to higher taxes and all
that's
that.
That's true.
And so there's always this fight against increased taxes.
Right.
But at that time, we would have had a really big bargain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
how long were you actually involved with the school? Just that you did... I mean, I know you were on the school board for 1 year and stuff, but sounds like you had longer involvement in the school system.
Well, I started out working on the curriculum committee.
Yeah.
And then I got on the school board, and I think that's three years, I think.
Okay.
But I was president 1 year. That just goes on.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And then once you get out of off the school board and away from education around here, did you run for mayor or anything?
No, we did it. The city commission thing was one thing that we did. You know,
when did you do that? City commission.
I don't remember that.
Did we
that
just have that conversation?
Yeah, with Ray Cermak and I ran. You know that whole
Bit.
And so.
Right.
So we did that, but after that I didn't get involved in anything local here.
Okay. All right. Now let's talk about downtown a minute.
Okay.
Bob Belisle.
Oh, yeah. Bob Belisle was...
Bob Belisle,
Had a great store down there.
Right.
And then there was a shoe store.
The shoe store?
Yeah.
Oh, what was the name of that shoe store?
I don't remember.
Parchment Department Store.
Parchment Department
Store. Oh, I have heard of it. Sure. Okay. Other people have talked about that. Yep.
Well, the thing about that was that our youngest son, Charles, and the Parchment Department Store had this big sale on hush puppies.
Yeah.
And they had a little puppy there that was a pet, and they had it in the store. And and then the kids all went in there, and they could put their ballots, their names in a box, and Chuck won it.
Oh.
So he won this, what started out as a little puppy, and turned out to be a big basset.
I was going to say, I bet that dog turned into a hound. Basset hound.
Yep.
Oh.
And a really nice, friendly dog, and because he'd grown up with all the kids, because all the elementary school kids all went over there and played with him every day.
Sure.
So he really liked kids. He was really
What was the dog's name?
Sam.
Sam.
Well, we call him Sad Sam because, you know, he's got, I don't know if you've seen bassets.
Their
eyes are...
Those big ears.
Yeah. That's right. He had big ears, and we had to pin him up, use a clothespin on his ears when he was eating. So.
How long did you have Sam?
Oh, boy. Several years. We had him until we moved to Puerto Rico.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And,
that's right.
That was, we didn't think that Sam ought to go, or that was a good thing to have him go.
Yeah.
And we found a family that had really young kids.
Yeah.
And we gave him Sam.
Yeah.
Gave them Sam. And,
yeah.
And, last we saw Sam, that he was running around with some 3 and 4 year old kids, just around me having balls. So.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really neat.
There was a car lot where Panoplate is. Wasn't there?
Yeah.
A car lot was there. Do you remember? I've heard one reference to Goosens.
Yeah.
Up on G and
on G Avenue,
Riverview up there.
Yeah.
That was, what was that like? Just a, it was more than a feed store though, wasn't it?
I mean, a general store
kind of?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I was trying to think of who had the garage down there.
There was a sign that said Hudson.
Yeah, but.
Right. That's right.
I used them a lot. They're some really nice people. Was it Fish?
Fish was on the corner
Yeah.
of G Avenue.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fish.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What do you mean you use them a lot?
Well,
to buy lots of cars from them, or?
No, to have the cars fixed.
So. Oh, to have the cars. Oh, they were also, I see, they were also a repair place.
Yeah.
Besides selling cars. I see.
I think that's the problem.
There's a disconnect here.
Is there?
Yeah. Harold Fish's place is where the Speedway is now.
Uh-huh, okay.
What you're talking about is where Panoplate is.
Where Panoplate is.
I think that was a used car lot.
Oh.
That's, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
That was right downtown.
It's not that one.
It's not that one. Okay.
The one that I went to a lot is, is the one that's the service station now.
The Speedway up there.
No, not Speedway, but.
That was Don Lent.
Lent.
Don Lent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, did that.
Okay.
But
all
that
right.
was really a good service.
But between that place up on G in the corner of G and Riverview mm-hmm. and downtown, there weren't all those houses.
No.
Right?
That's right.
It was like field, right?
Right.
Until they started to build there.
To build, yeah.
So it was pretty, this little town tucked in the northeast corner of really Kalamazoo. I mean, we're still a mile and a quarter from downtown. Was pretty rural, but it was a mill town.
Right.
At the same time, isn't that right?
That's right. You're exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so people had, did you have a vegetable garden?
No, we
didn't.
Did
people do a lot of gardening around here? Flowers and vegetables?
A lot of people might have, but we didn't, mostly because I was working at the Upjohn County, which is farther away from
here.
Yes,
certainly is.
And I didn't do that much stuff here.
Right, right.
But,
okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you remember these big celebrations in the park?
Yeah.
Oh. Here at Kindleberger.
Right.
Didn't they used to do big 4th of July?
Oh, yeah. They did. They always had fireworks.
And they had fireworks.
Yeah. 4th of July fireworks right there.
Oh.
There used to be a flagpole right in this corner.
Oh, there did?
Yeah.
A big one. Must have been a big one.
A big flagpole.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right there.
Okay.
And they, right next to the flagpole, they'd always have the fireworks.
Oh, you had fireworks right out your back door here, practically.
Right. And all the skyrockets would go up. And
yeah.
And what was left of them fell on our roof.
I bet.
So the next day, there was all this stuff up on our roof.
You'd have to pay close attention to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what my understanding is, and lots of baseball in this park.
Oh, yeah. The baseball, the formalized baseball, the mill had a team, and other organizations like Upjohn had a team too.
Yeah.
They used to play here quite a bit, but we were here after that, and so when we got here, it was mostly Little League and other types of baseball.
I see.
That were there.
Were your kids in Little League?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Did you do Little League? I can't remember that. I remember Chuck in Little League, and I used to be an umpire.
You were?
Well,
okay.
You know, just for this group, and I can remember, it's not a good thing to remember, but anyway, I remember this kid pitching the ball, and the ball falls and hits the ground and rolls past the batter.
Yeah?
And the batter swims.
The catcher.
Yeah, the catcher. Well, it hit before the batter.
Okay.
But the batter swung at it.
Ah.
And I called that a ball because he didn't get...
Yes.
Anyway, he got in a big fight with all the women in the...
Oh. The parents?
Yeah, the parents.
The parents really... They thought that should have been a strike.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Well, did you prevail? Or did you have to take it back?
I had to take it back.
You had to take it back during the game?
Yep.
During the game.
We settled it right then.
You settled it right then? Oh, my word. Okay. How long did you do that?
Umpire. That was just in the summertime.
Not very long.
No, I was just a substitute. I didn't run the show, or I wasn't a leader in the organization or anything like that.
Sure.
Only there because Rob and Chuck were there.
Sure. Now, did you have a lot of turnover in your neighborhood here? Did you know most of your neighbors, or they stayed a long time here, or?
The people across the street here built that house after we did.
All right.
And we became close friends with them.
Yeah.
And they had, that was designed by an architect in Lansing that came. And it's,
oh.
At that time, when they built that house, we were under the scare of atomic bombs.
Okay.
And so 50s, that house is sure. built with a shelter in it.
Is
so,
that?
And I can remember them stocking it and having it completely stocked for
yeah, yeah.
for a week or so, the stuff like that.
Is it out? Is it attached to their house?
It's the part of the
basement.
House.
It's part of the house.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was kind of neat. That was a scary time.
It was a scary
thought,
time.
You know,
any
you,
moment.
Yeah.
I was in grade school then. I remember it well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had to duck under tables and stuff.
That's
like
right.
That.
Drills. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
So who else on? You know, other people on the street, evidently.
Yeah, well, my neighbor here was Jim Southern.
Right.
He and I were on the school board together.
Okay.
He, of course, had a lot to do with the mill.
Absolutely, yeah.
Southern
right.
mill.
Right.
The people that were across the street was a fellow that owned a beer distributor.
What was his name? You know?
Dale Hughes.
Okay.
And his wife was really the one that ran the beer distributor.
Where was that? Beer?
Well, it was in town, but I
it was in Kalamazoo. It wasn't
yeah.
here.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I can remember her when she got a new semi. They had oh. the big thing, and she was a little girl.
Yes.
Like her, and she's standing next to this huge truck.
Uh huh.
It was really good. They were really nice people. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
There was a fellow that had the house on the corner, who owned this Sunoco station. Gas station that was on Riverview in Kalamazoo.
I see. Okay.
But and then Fred Dyke is still living there in the other house up on the corner.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
So in the winter. So in the you know I came from a small town in the UP.
Yeah.
So you know in the fall we would burn leaves.
Oh yeah.
You know there were no ordinances against. Raking your leaves into the alley or raking it right under the street and burning them and stuff, and we'd all go get potatoes and throw them in there.
And then
when all the leaves burned down, we had, like, baked potatoes. Do you guys do any of that around here?
What I did was I was on the committee that was supposed to control
the fires?
No, the smoke, air pollution.
You were?
Yeah.
Oh.
And we had passed an ordinance about that.
Yeah,
thing.
That's right. You hit the mill. Yeah.
Yeah, the mill was here, and so we had an ordinance that was trying to control the amount of fly ash. Well, actually, we built this pool, and every morning it would be covered with black fly ash that came out.
Yeah.
And anyway, but the thing that happened was that we passed this ordinance, and shortly after that, we had. It was fall, and we raked up the leaves. And there was a small amount of leaves on the park, right on the street.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this is a very small amount, so I just lit it on fire. And next thing you know, the police are down there saying
really?
The ordinance that I promoted was...
Oh, no. Busted.
Yeah.
Did you get a little citation for that?
I just got told to put it out.
Right.
It was a very small. It was a very small fire, but since then, this house, when we built this house, this was all flat. And we had to fill it in after they took the orchard out.
That's right.
And
sure, they didn't leave any of those apple trees.
No,
they're all gone.
They're all gone. Oh. There was an apple tree right in the corner of our porch, right there. That was kind of nice. I wanted to leave it there, but everybody said it's got to go. It's a bad tree. Anyway, what we did was June's. Folks lived in Holland on Lake Michigan.
Oh, sure.
He wanted to clear the whole thing and plant trees in a row across the front of the lake.
Yeah.
And so a lot of trees were going. So I got five maple, just small maple trees. They're about this big around.
Really?
And planted them here. There were two trees on this side and three over here.
Yeah.
And there's two left over here.
There's two left.
Those huge trees were just little things when we bought them. And that pine tree that you see in the corner over there.
Yeah.
I took that from his house, too.
You did.
It was just a little thing that I stuck in there. Unfortunately, I stuck it on what I didn't know there wasn't any house there. I stuck it on their property.
Oh, no.
But none of those houses were there.
Sure.
Yeah, so anyway, those things have grown to be just tremendous trees.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Great.
We had to take these out to put the pool in.
To put the pool in, right. Yeah. Do you still use that pool?
Oh, yeah.
And I said, yeah, you bet.
It's good.
Yeah, that's a great... Yeah. That's a great amenity.
Yeah. But anyway, the people that lived on the corner down the next block over there...
Yes.
...were also very good friends of ours. And we, as a group, used to go out together on golf outings for long weekends.
Okay.
So it was really kind of neat. He owned the aluminum plant down the road a little bit. It wasn't in Parchment, I don't think.
Okay.
It was in Ashtamo or Otsego.
Cooper
Township.
Okay. Yeah. Further up Riverview?
Yes, it's north. Just across the street from the North Elementary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the business he was in.
Okay. Do you remember any, national political issues, the big hot stuff, like John Kennedy was assassinated?
Oh, sure.
The Vietnam War.
Yeah.
Did Parchment as a city, as a little town, do anything special around like big stuff like that? That you know of?
I don't remember.
There weren't any.
I don't remember anything. That happened there. I do remember when Kennedy was shot. That was really shocking.
Everybody kind of remembers where they were. Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of those things.
Right.
I don't think we did anything
like publicly
national.
Okay. And of course, the Vietnam War, people came and went.
Yeah.
You know, as they did all over the country.
Yeah.
Much different political climate from what we have now for returning servicemen.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Much different.
Yeah, the thing that was really nice for me was that the GI Bill of Rights let me finish school at Michigan Tech when I got out of the Army. Which was kind of nice.
You bet.
And at that time, we were married, and so we went up and had a place in Hancock. Which was on the third floor of a house next to the river.
Oh, sure.
And it was really cold. It was heated by steam, but the steam valve would freeze up.
Oh yeah.
At night, so I had to take a piece of paper and light it and hold it underneath the valve to get some steam. But that's got nothing to do with Parchment.
Snow like you've never seen. I've been there once. Yeah. It's just snow like you've never seen. Yeah. So, how's Parchment today different?
Parchment today is different in that I think the school district has expanded quite a bit, but I think that they've worked really hard to make it an excellent school system,
mm-hmm.
and kept the standards really high. So I think.
Okay.
Well, we, of course, started the high school.
And
we're pretty proud of what we've gotten in it. I think it's grown since then, and it's become much more, efficient and a better school system,
mm-hmm.
which is what it should do.
Right.
But it's a lot larger too than what we started out with.
The service area is larger, isn't it?
Yeah.
Also,
right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the Parchment has grown quite a bit in the people that live here, and I think that it's going to grow. It's going to grow a lot more.
Yeah.
In the next few years.
That's kind of the plan, isn't
it?
That's kind of, yeah. All right, so. What would you like people to remember most about Parchment?
I think Parchment was unique in that they made parchment paper.
Yeah.
And there's an awful lot of history that goes with that. I think the thing that I think most about Parchment is that it was so united. The people all were interested in higher education.
Okay. Okay.
Up until the time when they started closing the mill, people were all willing to put in more money than they did in other cities, you know, to get a good educational program.
Yeah.
And so there was a unity here in, as members of the small community,
mm-hmm.
to try to do better than anybody else and to serve the people better.
Right.
Things like Bob Belisle was really worked hard to make Parchment a better place to
mm-hmm.
live.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think the thought that Jake Kindleberger had of making this park is unique.
Yeah.
And having something in a small city as a park that's as quite as nice as this is
mm-hmm.
really unusual. But I don't.
Right.
I don't see anything other than that.
What did we miss?
Unusual.
What did I miss? Did I ask you in this conversation? Did I miss anything you want to add?
No, I can't think of anything.
Okay.
About Parchment.
What do you to wrap this up then? What do you consider a successful life, and how has Parchment affected that?
Oh, I think. I think I've been just exceptionally, I had an exceptionally fine career, you know, to
mm-hmm.
to working with the Upjohn Company, and I had a variety of jobs that did, this had nothing to do with Parchment, of course, but I got me around the world quite a bit. I had a project in Guatemala and Costa Rica. We had stuff going on. Going over to England to work with Boots, and then France to work with CIFA, you know, it was a big deal. So
yeah.
I was pretty fortunate because it was big variety and big challenges,
okay.
which are a lot of fun to solve if you get. But
mm-hmm.
Parchment has always been a really nice place to have a home for a family.
Okay.
And we had the part that I missed was that, among other things, before we got Sad Sam.
Yeah.
We had Basenji, yeah.
Oh.
And I don't know if you know Basenji, but they're really a kind of a neat small dog with a curled up tail.
Yes.
They look like a little fawn.
Oh. Yes.
Really beautiful dog, but it had a lot of cat-like characteristics, and it could jump really high, right?
Is that right?
Right, straight up.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was really, really an unusual dog, and it was real fast and real quick, and and all of that, and it could. We used to have windows that came down to here. Anyway,
sure.
It could jump as high as that outside and look in.
Oh.
And it's a barkless dog, so
I see.
It doesn't bark, but it does chortle sort of.
Okay. Oh.
So when June would scold it, she'd say, you know, Cookie, we called her Cookie, that she'd talk to her and tell her that she did something wrong, and the dog would talk right back to her. Really an interesting dog. Unfortunately,
yeah.
Cookie followed Chuck to school one time and was hit.
Oh, no.
But that was too bad. But
Yeah.
But that was an unusual dog.
Yeah.
One time, I don't know if that should go in there. We can take it out. One time, we used to have a group that liked to dance, and we always did.
Yes? Where would go dancing?
Right here.
Here, in the house.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so we had this group together, and we're dancing here, and Lee Brannick was an old standby here, was dancing with June, my wife. And Cookie didn't like that, and so she nipped him right in the seat of the pants.
had like a little dance club here, kind of.
Well, it was
just
a dance club.
Neighbors,
we just liked to do it. No,
or?
It was just friends. We'd always have dinners together someplace at somebody's house.
Okay.
And then, but we'd end up, you know, either
dancing to the radio.
Yeah, music.
We had, or to the LPs
yeah,
to the, or
yeah, right. Right.
What kind of dancing?
Oh, we did everything.
You did?
Yeah. We always did that, and that was a big part of in Puerto Rico, we danced a lot.
You did.
Learned how to do the merengue and all of these things, you know.
Yeah,
like that. But,
yeah.
But that's not here.
No, but that's a social. I think people used to go out. My parents used to dance a lot, out and dance. That was a lot of entertainment in those days. And so.
Yeah. So the other thing that happened was with Cookie was that was remarkable, is that we were having dinner at the table in here. I think there were 8 of us there. And sitting down having dinner, and Cookie was being ignored. So she just jumped right straight up and landed right straight in the middle of the table.
No. Oh.
Yeah. Oh. It shocked everybody.
Yes, I would think.
Anyway, that has nothing to do with parchment either.
So. Smart dog.
I don't know how you're going to put all that stuff in it.
Oh, no. This is good. No, this is all good. Yeah. This is all good.
We had to hear... John, you know John.
John.
My grandson?
No.
Oh, don't?
I don't think I do.
John and Alan were here. But,
okay, I don't think I do.
John has the two daughters, our great granddaughters.
Right? Okay.
Anyway, when they were small, then John would organize big groups of kids to come here and swim.
Oh.
And it was a lot of fun. Because there were a lot of kids and a lot of parents.
Okay.
And what they would do is line up with the parents along this wall here, and then the kids would all come and take turns diving off the diving board.
Okay.
And they all had little signs, like 1 to 10.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, to judge them. It was a big, big deal.
Big, huge fun.
Oh, yeah, a lot of fun. And
you're the only guy in the street. This is the only place on the street that's got a swimming pool. Right?
Well, there was one up there.
So, is there one up there? Because usually, you know, these are magnets for all the kids in the neighborhood. Yeah. They just wanna.
Well, we had a lot of fun. And those parties that John organized and put together were really something else. But I can remember him. You know, you worry about kids, but they take to water like fish, you know. And he'd toss them up in the air, and then they splash down in, and they come punting back. Do it again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Those were good times.
You bet.
We're more or less invalids now.
Yeah. You're recovering from surgery?
Yeah.
Shoulder surgery.
Yeah. Rotator cuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he said something like a massive tear in the rotator cuff. So they did that. And the sad thing about that is that he said you're going to be out of... You aren't going to be able to drive for 6 weeks.
Oh, boy.
And it's going to take 6 weeks of this.
When are your 6 weeks up?
On the 30th of
just
March.
In time for spring.
Right.
When the weather and all the snow will be gone, though.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll all be gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm still going to have to be very careful about that, I think.
Of course.
I don't get full motion back for maybe 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm lucky.
You have to go to...
Therapy.
Physical therapy. Yeah, and all that. Sure.
Yeah. We have a thing going here where June and I both go. And Rob and Karen get us there.
Oh.
Because we can't.
You can't drive yourself these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Mr. Heasley, this has been just great.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
For your time. Everybody's got a little piece of the puzzle here, a little piece of history.
Yeah.
And people don't often repeat anything that anybody else has heard. It's always a little bit different. So
right.
I want to thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.